Thursday, December 15th, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. The Federal Reserve did what they were expected to do, which was increase the short-term interest rate a quarter point. Their outlook was for 3 rate hikes next year. Some were looking for 4. They were not as enthusiastic over economic growth prospects as the outside markets would suggest. The Fed has wanted Washington to adopt a more aggressive fiscal reform and stimulus, but those things have been locked up in the partisan gridlock for a long time. Democrats and Republicans could not function together. The election should have cleared the path for Congress to do something. Trump has promoted both aggressive tax reform and infrastructure spending. What they have the ability to legislate is still in question, but the major change is that they're going to try. Janet Yellen called it a cloud of uncertainty, but what Washington does will clearly impact the next moves by the Fed. The Fed could not have employed much more aggressive monetary policy. We have the economy that we have today because of it. Republicans always complain about the deficit, but they will add debt beyond the economic growth produced, not all that different than Ronald Reagan did. Watch them increase the debt ceiling. Donald is giving defense contractors fits, calling them out for cost overruns, but overall he will make defense companies a lot of money buying new military kit. The Fed has to balance future interest rate hikes with actual improved economic performance. And as a general statement, they are skeptical that Congress is going to deliver the amount of fiscal reform that the markets are discounting. The median Fed GDP forecast is still for just 2.1% growth next year and 2% in 2018. It will take a functioning Congress to prove them wrong. They cannot get out ahead of the economic growth with interest rates, so they'll start smothering it. The dollar was sharply higher and gold sharply lower. The Fed policy diverges from other global central bank policy that is still easing around the world. When we tighten by raising rates, they are continuing to ease. The capital flow comes to the United States. Donald says that he will penalize companies that invest overseas and give a tax holiday to companies with $2.5 trillion in cash parked to avoid U.S. taxes outside the country. Donald's policies would produce strong cash inflows into the United States, which translates into strength in the dollar. Their economies are not in as good a shape as ours. Beijing has given up on some fiscal reforms, has credit bubbles to deal with, and slowing growth sustained only by massive stimulus. Donald sees that as opportunity, leverage, and trade negotiations. Commodities trade inversely to the dollar. Initially, as I have been suggesting, exports improve as foreign buyers stock more inventory, as they expect it to get more expensive in their currency. Soybeans, for example, have gone up 6% in won currency, along with the recovery in the market. There is dollar risk on the chart to 120 as the next barrier, which is about a 20% increase from the dollar has recently been trading. In other words, the cost of corn, wheat, beef, and pork, and so on, would go up 20% from current levels to export buyers, if the price never changed here because of the currency. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. December expirations in both corn and wheat left downside targets for the March contracts to go down and fill. The fundamentals are bearish, but the technicals had yet to generate sell signals. If the U.S. dollar goes up, it rains in South America, and we plant 5 million more acres with no La Nina, it will ruin the soybean market. There is almost an eerie mode among farmers that they are frozen like deer in front of headlights, hunkered down in a state of hope that the vehicle coming toward them will swerve into the ditch. Then again, the farm economy is so good that they are keeping deer going without a hitch. There is an unbelievable dichotomy in the farm economy. A strong dollar would be a headwind for pork and beef exports. I noted that hog producers don't complain nearly as much about their checkoff as the cattle industry does. Iowa's new beef checkoff would not have been passed if the money was not in control of state promotion and was not refundable by request. The pork checkoff partners with 10 major supply chains on promotions that appear to be effective in setting better pricing to move the product. That is the point of checkoff promotion. The beef industry doesn't seem to be as effective in retail coordination. All the cattle industry seems to do is fight over its checkoff, spending too much time in court. Cattle prices are not bringing what retailers are pricing the beef for. Cattle producers are understandably frustrated by that. Retailers are slow to lower prices, but this is ridiculous. Losses produce higher debt levels, and the cost of financing is now on track to increase with higher interest rates. The lack of comparative partnership between the beef checkoff and retailers may explain some of why beef is not as competitive as it should be. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com. Call 712-933-9400.